I was born in a small town called Masjid Suleiman in southern Iran.
I was born in Syria.
I was born in Hamburg, Germany.
I was born in Korea.
I was born in Tanzania in a refugee camp.
I was born in Singapore.
Guatemala.
I'm from Ireland.
I was born in Thailand refugee camp.
I was born in Mumbai.
I was born in Vientiane, Laos.
I was born in England.
I was born in Costa Rica.
Welcome to Many Roads in Conversation. I'm your host, Caitlin Dwyer. In this series, we ask people to sit down together and talk about issues faced by immigrant and first-generation communities within the United States. Today, we're continuing our focus on intergenerational conversations, where younger folks can ask questions about the experiences and stories of other generations. I'm really excited about today's episode because I work a lot with young folks. When I'm not hosting podcasts, I also teach first-generation youth at a community college in Portland, Oregon. And today, I have with me one of my students, a first-time radio producer and a first-generation college student at Portland Community College, Jose Perez Salazar. Hi, Jose.
Hello.
Welcome to Many Roads to Here. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
So you spoke with Joaquin Lopez, who is one of the creative laureates of the city of Portland, Oregon. Tell us about him.
Basically, he's an ambassador for Portland and the art. So on top of being just kind of a face for Portland, he also likes to sing, perform, do a lot of different types of arts, and is just a really talented person in general. But he's also a therapist, so that's kind of what comes into play of, like, he knows a lot about mental health. He might know what other struggles people might be going through.
And I know you had done some research that initially connected you with Joaquin. Tell me a little about that and what made you want to interview him.
I wanted to speak with Joaquin because one of the teachers here at PCC actually introduced me to Joaquin after reading my paper and saw that there was many similarities that we had in terms of, like, mental health. And not only is he, like, older and more experienced, but he's also a first-generation college student. So that actually led me to want to talk to him and get to know him a little bit more. My research went on to just talk about first-generation Mexican-American college students and just the fact that they have a lot on their plate, that being things like, oh, they have to either pay their bills or help parents with bills. Having to balance work could cause a lot of different types of stress for students and ultimately affect their performance and how they do their schoolwork.
I know that you and Joaquin don't share all the same experiences, but I also know that it was really valuable for you to get to ask somebody about their mental health journey, and I'm excited to hear what you talked about. So you're going to narrate this interview for us and take us through some of the highlights?
Yeah.
Great. Let's get started.
Quiero salir para investigar a las estrellas. En mi hogar guardo en mi caja mis juguetes. Aquel muñeco y ese elefante hechos de trapo. Buscando.
As a first-generation college student, I know that college can sometimes feel daunting. That isolation can really take a toll on your mental health. Because of that, I wanted to know how Joaquin found people to connect with when he was a college student. When you were younger, how did you find community and a sense of belonging?
I was coming of age when I was like 14, 15, understanding that I was kind of different. I came out in 1990. So this was like, there were no social media, right? Being gay was not like a good thing. And then on top of that, you had this narrative that you were going to die of AIDS and that no one would love you. So you had to rely on your, like, social skills. Like, I had to get really good at seeing what people were dressing as and wondering what that meant. And if that meant that maybe they were kind of like me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or paying attention to, like, my girlfriends who were more, had more flair to the way they dressed, or maybe were a little more goth, you know, more in touch with, like, their darker feelings. That always attracted me too. So that's how I build my community. Like, paying attention to like those signifiers and other people's behaviors and mm-hmm. their clothing. It was really interesting when I think about back up at that time in the 90s when I started really dating and having sexual experiences. In the back of your head, you're always thinking, you know, maybe you're going to get AIDS, or maybe you think that it's like gay sex that gives you AIDS, or all these things, right? And there was, in the early 90s, there was no like medication, the triple cocktail and all that hadn't come out. And so it was like dark. It's like a death sentence. It's almost like love becomes a death sentence. There were no language. There was no words to put what you were experiencing. And the only words available were negative or outsider. It really sucked because I really wanted somebody to love me. And I didn't know how. So I thought, well, if I can make myself famous, then everybody will love me.
I heard Joaquin talk about growing up. I wondered if he still felt isolated when he went to college. I know for a lot of college students, it is a time when you find a sense of community. But for first-generation college students like me, it is also a time when you do things without as much support from your family. During college, what were you
doing? Oh, in college, I studied theater arts because I was going to be a great, famous actor and everyone was going to
love
me. Be on
everyone's movies.
You know, it's so, name. It's so funny. I laugh now, but I was serious. Mm-hmm. And then as I've gotten older and I see, you know, my life and I'm able to tell my story, I really see that I was really using fame and the want for everyone to love me as a way to soothe my sense of isolation, my loneliness, my struggle as a gay man. As being Latino, as all these, I wanted to be like Madonna and Michael Jackson and George Michael. To me, it wasn't about like artistry. It was about fame. I wanted to be famous. I wanted everyone to love me. I got rejected. I was rejected, right? Once. And then I was like, I'm done with Los Angeles, right? I was like, just done. And I left everything behind. And I remember thinking this as I was walking through Vaughn's and thinking, because I was rejected for an audition. And I took it so deeply personal. And I was rejected. And I remember walking through Vaughn's. I remember Mozart was like in the music, right? Like in the Muzak.
Yeah.
Right? And I remember thinking, if I'm so fucking worthless, then at least I can do what I want to do. And that's sing and play guitar. And if I suck, then I deserve the judgment. Mm-hmm. I deserve whatever I get for being horrible. I mean, I had to reach that low, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just started playing guitar. And it wasn't great.
Yeah.
But I didn't care. I had finally reached the point I just can't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's really what catapulted me into like learning guitar and writing songs and just not caring and kind of giving up on life a little bit, but in like in a positive way. And yeah, and then it became just a vehicle for self-expression and bonding. But I had to get really clear as to like, why am I doing this? How can I do this without feeling like I'm a failure? I want to go out to investigate the stars. In my home, I store in my box my toys, a doll and an elephant made of rags. Quiero salir para investigar a las estrellas.
Art has always been really important for Joaquin. It is not only his self-expression, it is how he proved he was worthy of love. I was curious if music gave Joaquin a sense of belonging. Maybe music always let him express himself. So what music and art do you remember from your childhood?
I always remember going to church with my parents And they would be in the chorus and singing like the church songs. I really loved that because those church songs are so like vibrant and so like happy. And so I remember that. I remember always listening to the music on the radio and recording songs on cassette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would wait around the radio to hear my favorite song come on and then I'd push record.
Oh, yeah. I remember doing that too.
Yeah.
What type of music did you listen to?
Pop.
Yeah. Pop.
Yeah, sure. Radio pop. That was my thing. Michael Jackson, Madonna, George Michael, Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I know you often sing in Spanish. What's your relationship with Spanish?
My relationship with Spanish, I think, is really complicated, or complex, I should say. Mm-hmm. I can speak Spanish. I can conduct therapy in Spanish with Spanish-speaking folks. Siempre me traigo la lengua. Like, I'm always trying to find the words.
Mm, right? Yeah.
So, like, in therapy, I'll talk to the person. I'll say, you know, I'm happy to work with you in Spanish. But sometimes I me traigo la lengua. Like, I can't find the words. So you'll have to help me. Exactly. But yeah. It's actually worked out really well because for people that are Spanish speaking and we're trying to connect,
mm-hmm.
them helping me find a word, it's actually really nice experience because they feel like they've been able to help me.
I first grew up learning only Spanish in my household. And then once I got to like kindergarten, that's when I really had to switch to the English part and had to learn all that. Basically my whole life in the same house I've lived in. Oh, I moved in at 2 years old and just lived there my whole life. Apart from 1 year in first grade, we went to Mexico, and that's where I grew up for 1 year, went to school over there and learned how to read, write, do numbers over there. And so that really helped me down the road because now I'm not forgetting as much Spanish as other kids around my age are.
That's good.
Yeah.
When I embraced my Latino identity, it wasn't until I was like 27. Yeah. When I was doing a show and I had to like say out loud that I was Mexican American, and I laughed at the director because I was like, no one's going to believe that, you know, and for good reason, because when I was in high school, I was part of like leadership programs with high schoolers and they would like leave you out, you know? And so it was like, it's not like, you know, I wasn't like hating on myself. I was just like, I was just organizing the information that was given about me and, you know, making sense of it. And so people are going to laugh if I say I'm Mexican American because I look so white, you know, and I can carry myself well. You know, it's like, that's just people want to see something else. But I had to get over that.
Quiero sentir a el universo dentro de mí y ser la luz para producir. La foto
I was in college. I remember I was in college and I was walking down. I went to Southern Oregon University and I was walking downtown Ashland and I walked into a music store and I saw a CD by Juan Gabriel. He's this really amazing songwriter
mm-hmm.
and from Mexico and Latin America. And I used to hate Juan Gabriel. I mean, not hate, maybe that's too strong of a word, but that was my parents' music.
Yeah, you know, it was like, you just overlooked it a little bit.
It just wasn't my music. Well, I bought the CD because, you know, I was in college. It was my first year away from home, and I just thought it would be cool to buy it
mm-hmm.
and listen to it. So I did, and I put it on, and I remember just hearing, I think the song was Se Me Olvidó Otra Vez. Like, the translation is, I forgot once again.
Mm-hmm.
It's about somebody that forgot that they had broke up with their boyfriend or their lover or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember listening to it and just crying. And then it hit me as I was listening to it. And I thought to myself, of course I'm Mexican American because I wouldn't have this experience of like crying, mm-hmm. of my heart racing and like breathing, you know, fast because of the song that I'm listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it hit me and that I realized that I am Mexican American and that no one can take it away from me because this is my body. And whatever you're tripping on, that's you. And I had to learn through my experiences that the negativity and the oppression that I experienced, it hardened me. And you can only be hard for so long before it starts breaking you down. And I had to learn to understand my story and understand what happened to me, and then accept it, not approve it, but accept that it happened to me, and then soften. And when I did that, then I was able to let the oppression go.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to experience and understand what it had done to me.
Joaquin had done a lot of work on himself and found greater value in singing in Spanish. This led him to take the lead on his next project.
And Voz Alta is this project that I created about almost 15 years ago for Portland Latino Gay Pride. And I was interested in learning and celebrating Latino gay experiences on stage. And up until that point, you didn't see a lot of stories of Latino and gay. What you did see a lot of were drag queens and the more florid and expressive kind of expressions of Latino and gay, but you didn't see, like, you know, the down home, what are the lives of people who are Latino and gay.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to start interviewing people and then rewriting their story into a poetic narrative to be performed by actors and musicians. And I love music. So part of, like, reclaiming identity for me was playing music from my background. So what I really loved doing was taking the story of somebody and playing, like, a Mexican ranchera, you know, mm-hmm. to a gay story, you
yeah.
know, for that expressed gay love, you know? So I liked kind of doing these expressing these stories and challenging people's narratives, you know, internally with
yeah.
something that's so intimate for them, you know? So so that was Voz Alta. So I did that for about 10 years. And then we stopped. I stopped because Latino Gay Pride just kind of stopped existing for a while. And being Creative Laureate, it was Voz Alta that really got me into the community and really got me in the community as a person that produces, that does community engagement. And so for my last project as Creative Laureate, I wanted to do a Voz Alta, one last Voz Alta. And I decided to do it on the guy who gave me the opportunity to create the first one. So I'm writing his story.
Oh,
and his name is David Martinez. Yeah, he founded Latino Gay Pride with another friend of his, Melanie Davis. And there was a whole group of people that were involved in the beginning in 2006, I believe. And I came on board in the planning committee in 2009. And then I offered this idea. I said, David, can I do this? And he said, yes. And I was surprised that he said yes.
Give me the green light.
And so I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I was lucky because on the planning committee was one of the founders of Milagro Theater. So she, Danielle Milan. And so she said, well, I'll help you out with that. And so she helped me and she kind of, you know, showed me the ropes a little bit. And then we performed the first Voz Alta. And I thought it was just going to be a one-time thing, you know, because it was so much work.
Yeah.
And then David comes back and says, so next year, this will like start off all our festivities for Portland Latino Gay Pride.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Okay.
I'm not a musician, but I'm really interested in the steps he took to take care of himself and his mental health. I was curious about whether his work on himself and his music had influenced his career as a therapist. Like, how did your personal journey through mental health help you lead to a career as a therapist?
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, I've always been in and out of therapy, always. I think I found my first good therapist in 2001. He was a Jungian-oriented therapist. And so I really learned about how to understand and work your dreams. I learned about archetypes and complexes. I learned about feelings. And I learned about personal exploration with you. So it's 2014, and I am at my high school reunion. And I'm seeing everybody, and it's so interesting because everybody has grown up, but once you're back in your high school reunion, you take on the same role that you had.
Really?
High school. Yeah. So you'll see people. It's really interesting. You'll see people that were like the cool people, and then now they're not so cool, but they take on the role anyway. You know, it's just so weird. It's just so funny.
They just go back to where they had.
Or like the nerds. Like they're like the CEOs of companies, but they're like sitting in the corner over there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so interesting. Everybody falls back to their roles.
That's super interesting.
But I remember thinking to myself, wow, the people that really got somewhere were people that focused on one thing after college.
Mm-hmm.
Or after college. And I was at a crossroads because I was 36 years old, 37 years old. And I was like, what am I going to do with my life? I want more, right? Because I was working at a restaurant and there was a ceiling there. I couldn't really grow more. And I paid attention at the guys that were successful. And I noticed that people that stuck to like one thing and worked it eventually grew something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, what have I been working on for the last 20 years? And it's been on my personal self. It's been on my trying to find a place in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been working with therapists, you know, out of pocket, regular price, you know, no insurance here, because it was really important to me.
Yeah.
And so that was my investment. And so I said, I'm going to become a therapist. I want to become a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just the reason. I've always wanted to. I've always felt it in me. But that really propelled me to think, okay, Joaquin, you need to go be a therapist.
Voy a crecer, un día volar y resaltar.
It seems to me that first-generation college students like me have some unique mental health struggles. I was definitely interested in getting Joaquin's take as a therapist and former first-generation student himself. During my research for my paper that I did last term for Caitlin's class, I really dove into depth into what really causes most of the anxiety for a lot of first-generation students. Some kids have to maybe get a job just to be able to help parents with bills or anything like that. And I've noticed I have to also help out around the house, do all that. And it's just balancing chores, work, school, and then, you know, also having like friends or relationships, whatever it is. It can overwhelm a lot of students. Do you ever experience anything like that?
You know, I didn't experience exactly that, mm-hmm. What you just shared. But what I had to manage was my identity as a gay man,
mm-hmm.
growing up.
And I mean, that's definitely one of the bigger things you have to take care of in yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that caused a lot of anxiety.
You said that you help express yourself with art.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that help you with anxiety?
Oh, gosh. So, you know, anxiety is all about worry for the future, right? Worry about what's going to happen, what can happen, what might happen, what has happened in the past always.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a way for you to protect yourself and to prepare yourself to either fight or stand up for or defend yourself, right? We're constantly trying to like avoid.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we just do that. Our bodies do that. Constantly trying to avoid duress or stress or what doesn't feel good. We're always like paying attention, mm-hmm. to our environment. That's why when we get a feeling, oh, there's something off over there. It's a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So when you grow up in an environment where you're always looking out for stuff, you get really good at that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right. Get sharp.
And so then you'll get really good at that, and then your body gets used to that, and then you just like end up going to like the park, and you take that with you. You end up going to school, you take that with you. You end up going to buy a coffee, you take that with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's always with you, and you can't really pinpoint like why you're feeling that,
mm-hmm.
your mind then comes in and starts making stories.
Yep.
Oh, maybe that person's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe there's something wrong with my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, maybe my teacher's being so-and-so, right? We'll make up these stories that a lot of times might be true, and a lot of times there's no evidence for them.
Right.
It's just our mind trying to make sense of what our body's feeling. Searching to get out. I miss being free. I want to feel the universe inside me and be the light to produce photosynthesis. I'm gonna grow. One day I'll fly and let myself go. So like, what I do to work through my anxiety is, it's hard. It's just hard. But I try to find evidence of what I'm feeling.
Okay.
So I'm feeling anxious, like my world is going to end. Okay. Am I doing something that will cause the world to end?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. What am I doing that I'm so scared of? Oh, well, you know, right now I'm writing this show, Voz Alta, for May, and everyone's eyes are going to be on me. Okay, but everyone that's going to go to the theater to see you, they support you? Yes. Do they love you? Yes. Did they want you to succeed? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then you keep talking to yourself. Well, Joaquin, could you maybe give yourself a break? And so what if you screw up? People will let you do it again. Sometimes I will engage in art, writing a song, playing a song, painting, to depict what I'm feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
To paint the picture of how I'm feeling. And then that gives me a way to put my hands onto like, what is it I'm experiencing or an emotion. And then the other way I do it is I just begin with a blank canvas, like with paints. So I just look at what color is speaking to me, and I choose that. And then I start painting, and I start feeling like the feel of the brush on the canvas with the color, and I just kind of see what shape's coming out to me, and then I add other colors.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of see what's speaking to me, and then I kind of follow that. I'll do that, then I'll put it aside. And then I'll look at that and try to understand the story. And then it'll be about something I wasn't able to put words to. So in that case, in the first example, I was depicting my experience.
Mm-hmm.
In the second example, I was revealing an experience.
Joaquin's techniques for using art to calm anxiety were interesting. I personally work out and listen to music as an outlet. Anxiety is definitely something I've dealt with in college. There's a particular pressure to being one of the first in your family to attend college. This is especially true among Latinos. That can cause a lot of anxiety and anxious feelings.
I am a first generation, I'd want to say, but I know my sister went to OSU, and then my sister came to PCC, but she never ended up like finishing that. And so, I don't know, I felt like the whole time I was just kind of on my own to figure things out. Thankfully, there's a lot of resources, like in like my high school, I used to go to like the College and Career Center and just talk to them. They'll like answer my questions. And so when there wasn't support, either like at home, I just come to school or come to their other resources. A lot of people don't take advantage of the resources. And I can say I'm one of them that doesn't do that. Sometimes it's just not wanting to ask for help blocks a lot of people out. And that might even lead to like machismo, just wanting to be a man, wanting to not ask for help.
I think there's also something to be said about positive anxiety. Like mm-hmm. if I get in front of an audience and I feel
anxious,
that's good.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's good towards something good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I'm going to ask somebody out for the first time and I get a little anxious, that's good. And I should feel that way.
That's the thing. Like one of our CG classes I had here, CG classes, college success class. And one of the classes I went to, they were talking about the main topic was stress and good stress and bad stress. And they're like making sure we kind of could differentiate the difference between the two of them. There's like, you know, there's stress that's, you know, if a test is coming up or you have to present in front of a whole bunch of people, you know, is that really like a bad stress? Because it's going towards something good. So maybe instead of looking at it as a bad thing, you're like, okay, this is making me nervous, but it's towards a bigger purpose, right?
Buscando salirme, extraño ser libre.
Does the creative laureate get nervous? I guess so. Even when they're used to performing in front of a crowd, Joaquin says he still has a lot of anxiety, but this also means he really loves the experience.
The creative laureate is selected for the work that they've done in the community and in the art that they're focused in, and I'm focused on the performing arts. I produce storytelling events, music events, cultural events. And so the Portland Creative Laureate is selected to be an ambassador for arts and culture. And it's a really open role. You can do that however you want. So I've been able to do that through paying visits to schools, talking about the importance of arts and culture. It's been great. People really are interested to know what your work is. People are listen to you. People are interested in what you have to say. And I think some of the more difficult things are like taking the pressure off yourself to like be amazing, right? Or to not look foolish. That's been really hard for me too.
And in terms of like from when you started, when you first became Portland's Creative Laureate and then now towards coming to the end, you know, how have you noticed that you're dealing with like that pressure you're talking about from like other people or like family members, anybody?
Oh, it's the same. I honestly just kind of got frozen for a little while, for a few months. Yeah. It was just hard for me mentally to really kind of enjoy being creative laureate for the first few months because it was so much stress on myself.
Yeah.
But then I relaxed and then it got funner and then the opportunities came up and then... But, you know, going back to David Martinez, he had to transform himself and get in contact with his feelings before he could have created Portland Latino Gay Pride, which then transformed our community, which then allowed me a platform to get my voice, which then allowed me to tell the stories of other people,
mm-hmm.
right? So it is through that in our personal work that we can really uplift other people and transform our community. But it begins with transforming yourself. And it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun.
It's
good.
It's always a work in progress.
Quiero sentir a el universo dentro de mí y ser la luz para producir la fotosíntesis. Voy a crecer, un día volar y resaltar.
Many Roads to Here is a production of The Immigrant Story. Many thanks to Jose Perez Salazar for co-producing this episode with me. And huge thanks to Joaquin Lopez for this conversation and for his beautiful music. This episode was recorded at Portland Community College and generously funded by the Marie Lamfrum Charitable Foundation. Greg Palmer did our post-production, and all music was composed and performed by Joaquin Lopez. Our executive producer is the undeniable Sankar Raman. For more stories, visit our website, listen live at prp.fm, or stream us wherever you get your podcasts.